meet with the ladies tonight for camp meeting plans. We got a trash overloading out here, and they don't pick it up till Thursday, and we're going to have food Thursday morning. So if someone can know somewhere we can do something with some of that trash on a truck or get it out of here tonight, that'd be a real blessing if somebody could do that. Because we're going to need it before they come to get it. We'll need some room. And we are having food Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Lord willing. Now let me ask you, be here in these morning services. Let the kids stay out of school Friday. We've always done that. Let them miss Friday and come to church. They miss for basketball tournaments. They miss school for basketball tournaments. And, hello, you can't tell me that camp meeting is less important than a basketball tournament. It's not. It's, hello, yep, some just a little bit, brother. It's not. It's 10,000 times more important than the NBA championship. And so, 10,000 times. And it'll last forever. Ball games, you don't even remember who won 5 years ago, certain games. It's nothing. It's just a game. They call it game, that's what it is, game. All right, tonight let's turn to Psalm 122. And I used this scripture as a starting point several weeks ago, but I'm going to do it completely different tonight and just give you just a little thought. I know everybody's tired. Before I read the scripture, I'd like everyone that went visiting yesterday, if you went visiting yesterday, I know Kim and Son hadn't even got here tonight. She had a crowd. Would you stand, please? If you went visiting yesterday, would you stand, please? What a blessing. Thank God. Thank God for young converts. Praise God. All right, you can be seated. I know there was close to 40 here yesterday morning, and we had a great time. And God will bless you for that. I just wanted to recognize you and tell you how much we appreciate you. And the Lord does. Now this evening, look at Psalm 122. And I'm going to read this verse here. And then I'm going to say just really briefly tonight what I'd like to say about it. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, camp meeting is this week. Uh-oh, I got that on my brain. David came to our camp meeting. You knew that, didn't you? He'll be here this week. Not the David of the Bible, some David. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to preach tonight on the place that made David glad. There was a place that made David glad. There was a place that made David glad. He did not say, I was glad when they said, let us go camping or hiking. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to say this evening, coming to church made him glad. If you're right with the Lord and you are within distance of a good church, coming to church will make you glad. You'll look forward to it. You'll enjoy it. I want to say about three or four things about it. First thing I want to say is bring yourself. My first responsibility is to get myself here. And my family after that. But myself. I will never forget when I first got saved. I'll never forget it. I remember I got saved in April. We had summer. And I had a job working second shift. Went in every evening at 2:30. Got off at 11 o'clock. And that means we had to miss church during the week. My pastor scheduled a revival, and honestly, I thought that I was going to die if I didn't get to go to that revival. I'd been saved just a few months, and I said, we're going to have church every night this week, and I'm not going to get to go. And I said, I'm going to be stuck in this stupid plant all week long and miss church. I mean, it about killed me. I thought, I'm not going to get to go to the revival. I'm not going to get to go. Lord, I hate it. Now listen, people. There's something about a mindset that when you're really right with God, you don't say, oh God, we got to go every night. If that's your mindset, I feel sorry for you. God, it's already got to where it's not real to you anymore. God, not even personal to you anymore. I shouldn't have to fuss at people that you go to church.
You ought to say, boy, you know what? The Lord's there. The Lord helps me. The Lord speaks to me. I want to be there. I want to get what God has for me. And I did. I did. I remember thinking, good night, I don't want to miss that. And I think I stayed out of work one day during the week and actually come to the revival, and I loved it. And every time we had something, I'd say, you know what? If I physically possibly can, I want to be there. That's the way we should be. We should bring ourselves. The Bible said that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Sometimes you can't have it. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you got to work. So, I understand that. God does too. But boy, it is a privilege and honor to get to come to church. We're having camp meeting this week. What a blessing. We ought to come and bring ourselves. I'm telling you, I've seen camp meetings. I've been to them before and been a part of where you had to come early to get a good seat. I mean, boy, if you got these front, that looks good, all y'all sitting up here tonight. That's the way teenagers are supposed to do. Set up here where you can get spit on once in a while. Amen? I mean, where you can get kicked or something every now and then. Where the thunder gets you. Amen? And you know what? I used to come, and I'd sit on the front row, and I'd get my Bible, and I'd sit there like that, and I'd get, you know, they call it zoned in. I'd get zoned in on that preacher, and it felt like there was nobody else in the room. Just me and him. Now, I remember sitting there and I thought, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, he's talking to me. I'll never forget. Old Brother Ed, he got up there, boy, and he went like that. Buddy, he preached on a young man having a car wreck, like I showed this morning. And I thought, is God talking to me? God was saying, boy, you better slow that thing. I had a little MG, a little convertible MG, and I'd fly in that thing, and I thought God was warning me. He might have been. I don't know. Do you know what I did? I brought myself to the house of God. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the very service you missed might be the very one that God done was going to do something special for you or your children. Let me say, secondly tonight, I want to bring my Bible. I want to bring my Bible. Not your cell phone. Get your cell phones off. Or leave them in the car. Or leave them turned off in your pocket. You'd be surprised. I could name names. You'd be surprised this morning when I was up here preaching and it was dark. I could look back there and I'd see somebody's face real light and their face down like that. Where they're messing with a cell phone while I had the video showing. I could name names, but I'm too nice for that. And you'd be surprised. That's not right. You know it's not right. I mean, leave that stupid thing off for a few minutes so you can get in the Word of God. Say amen. I know a lot of preachers are taking their iPad to the pulpit, but I ain't got one, and don't give me one. She's got one, that's enough for 50 people. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, I want my Bible. I want the Word of God. You know what I can do you can't do with an iPad? I can hold a place right here and turn over here and compare notes and look down the verse below it before you can punch the words in that stupid thing. I'm telling you tonight, you'll be sitting back there looking at the weather and football score and everything else while I'm looking in the Word of God. You're not going to improve on bringing a King James Bible to church and open it and getting what God wants you to have. Heaven's sake, people, this is God's house. Leave your business at home. Leave your Facebook at home. They'll wait till you get out of here. I wasn't even planning on saying that. I'm telling you, hallelujah, I bring my Bible to the house of God. It's a textbook. It's a textbook. It's a study book. It's a guidebook. It's a rule book. I know how I'm supposed to live because I've got a Bible. I read my Bible. That Bible tells me what to do and what not to do and how to live and how not to live. And it keeps me out of trouble. God will warn me. Something wrong over here? I go this way. God will warn me. And if I got good sense, I'll listen to the Bible. You know, we got some old leather lung country preachers coming, and we got some that are smart and educated and give you a little balanced diet and different styles and ages of preachers. And you know what? Some of them old preachers, I've been in some meetings where a preacher would get up and couldn't even pronounce the syllables right and about because of his lack of education. But if you'll sit there and listen to him, God will talk to you and God will show you stuff. I'm telling you, brother, God's not interested in our education. There's nothing wrong with it. But God wants our heart to be right. And God wants our heart to be yielded to Him. You know what God uses? A willing vessel. And brother, when them men get up here and start preaching, I want to hear what they got to say. What is right? What is wrong? If I'm going down the road, and I don't see a sign that says 70 miles an hour, I might want to go 100. And if I go 100, they'll take my license. They'll take me to jail. If they catch me doing 155, or they can put you in jail for that. I'm glad the sign tells me 70. That's the way the book is. The book will keep you out of trouble. It says leave alcohol alone. It says leave premarital sex alone. It says leave lying alone. You know why? To keep you out of jail and out of trouble. Amen? I'm glad, brother, we've got a Bible. Hallelujah. We've all seen on the news this week. I haven't seen the news the last few days, but earlier in the week, that basketball player, Lamar Odom, and the trouble that he got into. I ain't even heard nothing the last few days. Is he alive? Is he still alive? All come back close to dying. And all the Kardashians come on TV and said, pray. Everybody pray. Please pray for Lamar. And I thought, you know, isn't that something? When it comes right down to it, every one of them sorry low-down things knows that God is the one that's going to help us and have mercy. They all know it. They all know what, right? They just don't want to live right. And let me tell you, Lamar is not living right. And they had one of them girls on there. They said on the news, old Nancy Grace, she got on there, and they said they checked those employees of that place, and they checked their tax reform, and one of them put down, made so many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it said, occupation, whore. Right? Honor tax reform. That's a Bible word. It's all right to say that. That's what you are if you sleep around with a bunch of guys. According to the Bible. Lord, that goes over like a lead balloon. According to the Bible. That's Bible terminology. That's Bible word. That is what the Bible says about an immoral woman. Amen right there. Anyway, she's a professional whore. And you know what, brother? They said that man's going to die. Sin almost killed that guy. And we do need to pray for him. I have prayed for him. We prayed for him. Me and Kelly prayed for him. But I'm telling you, you know what will keep you out of trouble like that? Line up with the book. Get in the Word of God. Get in God's Word. Say, I'm going to do what the Bible says. That's why we have camp meeting. Me just preaching the last 5 minutes has helped keep some of y'all young people straight this week. That's what it'll do. It'll keep you straight. And I want to say thirdly, you know what we ought to bring to church this week? Let me tell you what to bring this week. Bring yourself. Bring your Bible. Number three, bring your burdens. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. My heart was thrilled a while ago when I seen some of you ladies hit the altar. I seen many of you this altar this morning. Had people from there all the way over there. I love it. Don't you ever sit there and feel a burden and say, well, it's not the right time. It's always the right time to get in the altar. There ain't no bad time. Listen, you come in the house of God before we even start, you get on this altar. If you got a burden here tonight, brother, bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there! Leave it there! Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I'm so thankful that we can come to camp meeting and hear the preaching and bring our burdens. Boy, I've talked to people before and they say, well, Brother Danny, I'm just so tore up over this, I ain't coming tonight. That's about like saying, I'm throwing up, I'm about to die, but I ain't going to the doctor till I get better. That's crazy. You go to the doctor to get better. You go to church to get rid of your burden. You go to church to bring your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. If your marriage is in trouble, camp meeting's what you need. If your heart is broke, camp meeting is what you need. If your health is bad, camp meeting is what you need. You know what I believe? I believe I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine in the right way. I believe there's help by reading that book and physical help. And I'm going to prove it to you here pretty soon. I've been thinking about a message preaching on diet and food and stuff like that. I believe there is physical help by listening to the Bible and reading the Bible and enjoying life and laughing. There's definitely physical help. If you go around, Lord, I wish y'all could have seen the people that I visited yesterday. I visited way down this way by myself, went down to apartments over in Valdez, and there was four, I guess it's probably 50 apartments. I knocked on the door, and it was people who like not assisted living, I guess maybe assisted living. Not old people couldn't afford it, you know, and maybe we paid half of their rent or something like that. And they were sitting around there, and I began to talk. One dear lady, I felt so sorry for her. She was sitting in a thing like, sort of like a wheelchair, a little chair like this. And she said, "I ain't been to church since my husband left me." But she said, "I believe in God, and I know I've been saved." I said, "When did he leave you?" She said, "In the 60s. In the 60s. I said, "Look, you know, I started to say, look, I mean, I hate your husband left and everything. There comes a point where you got to get over it. 50 years ago? Listen, brother, if your husband left last week, get in the house of God this Sunday. That's what you need. You don't need to quit church." I've had people say, "Well, I'm going through marriage trouble, people. I'm having a lot of trouble. That's why I ain't coming to church." Good night in the morning, brother. That's what you need, is God and the Spirit and the Bible when you're having trouble. Are your kids in trouble? I've had people tell me, "Well, my kid got in trouble and got arrested. We're having a lot of trouble." Right? Good. You need to be in church every time the door's open. That's what you need. That's what the kids need. Amen. Let me tell you something else you need to bring. You need to bring an open heart and mind. Leave your bossy, self-righteous spirit at home. Amen. It's unreal what we see in church. I was preaching one time, other than the old building, and I just wish every one of y'all could pastor for 1 week. It really ain't like you think it is. I have people tell me, "Man, you got it made. Run around with a suit on all the time. You get to tell everybody what to do." I wish. We ought to give every one of y'all a whang at it once in a while. Let you be pastor for a week. And I'd love to hear how you can do up here. It's a whole lot harder than you think it is. I'm telling you, I've tried a lot of things. This is the hardest thing I've done in my life. You can't never get it. You can't never get it mastered. You can't never get it figured out. Almost every time I preach, I feel like I made a flop. Almost every time. And I've done it thousands and thousands of times. You still never feel like you've done good. And some people say, "You preachers got it made. You know, preachers." I mean, if I fuss at you like I fussed about the cell phone a minute ago, I'm being mean. If I don't, I'm a compromiser. That's just a little tiny example. Why don't you say something to them people to get them off them phones, preacher? I can't believe. If I say something, "I can't believe that. He hurt my feelings. He knows he was just talking to me. I know he was." See, you're blank you do and blank you don't in this business, brother. And I'm telling you, the only thing I can do is try to please God and just hope everybody else gets what. I mean, you're either too hard or you're too soft or you're too... I know a preacher not far from here, said there was a woman coming to his church, and the woman would stop at Burger King and brought a Burger King cup in church with her. I can't believe people bring a Mountain Dew and drink it in the house of God. I would never even dream of nothing like that growing up. My mama taught me better than that. You don't even need a bottle of water. You're going to die for an hour. Say amen right there. And your kids don't need Cheerios all over the pew writing their initials with them. Little brats. You say, "Well, they won't be good." Teach them how to be good. It's a nice way of saying it. See, if I fuss about that, I'm too mean. If I don't, people say, "I can't believe how you let them kids just cut up like that, preacher." That's true. That's the truth. You can't win. You can't win, especially with a bunch of nuts like we got. And listen, brother, as preacher said, this woman, there's a little kid rolling around in the floor while I was trying to preach. Rolling around like this and rolling. And I was down here stoned. I thought I was going to step on it. And all I did was stop and say, "Somebody do something to that kid." And I'm a mean person. I'm a mean person for that. That woman took that kid and never came back. That's been 12 years ago. I'll never go back to that church. That kid's almost grown now. Still won't let that kid come and knock some of their family out of coming to church because I was mean. You want me to tell you who's mean? That dumb mother. If a mother will let her kid roll around in the middle of the aisle in the house of God and thinks that's funny, Don't talk to me about being mean. Now you need to see a good psychiatrist or a good Christian counselor that teaches you how to raise a child. There's a preacher not far from here. He's up preaching, like I am now. The woman brought her Burger King cup in and sat down drinking out of Burger King. And her little boy got up and grabbed the flag and was running around with it while he was preaching. Not far from here. And so he talked to me and said, "Look, y'all, you can't do that. You can't. You just can't do that." And they got mad and quit. And said, "We ain't never coming back." And that's the kind of people we got there. Listen, if you got a brain in your head, if when mine was little, they wasn't always perfect in church. But I'm telling you, brother, if one of them got the flag and run around with it, unless they was praising God. And I'll give you $1 when that happens. One of them grabs the flag and runs around the building with it. It'd be all right, wouldn't it? I would not care if they was really praising God. But if a little kid got up here and was running around and then I say something, "Oh, he's mean. He's hateful. Did you hear him tell him? Listen, you're the mean one. You're the crazy person. That bring our hearts and our minds. Leave your bad attitude out in the car. Leave your cell phone in the car or turned off." I heard one, we're right in the middle of the invitation. I said, "Would Boss Hog please answer the phone? I'm trying to get people saved here." Look up here at me, y'all. Look up here at me. I've seen people over and over and over get up while I'm preaching. Walking out the door. You say, "Well, I got a call." Yeah, you got a call. The Lord's putting one on you right now. And that one can wait. You got a text. Psalm 122 verse 1. And that one can wait. Listen, come to church and get what God wants you to have. And leave your bad attitude at home. Leave your smart mouth in the car with your cigarettes. Leave them out there. Leave them. If you want to throw a cigarette down, throw it down in your car, not on God's property. You trash up your own property, not God's. See, I'm the mean person right there. How mean. How mean. Amen. All right. Let me say also tonight, bring your offering. Bring your offering. Praise God to give. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know what I believe? I believe God made us. There's something about human nature that we feel good when we give and do something to somebody. I believe that, especially Christians. What did Jesus say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the Lord said that. The Lord said that. You know how you know you're getting backslid? You get greedy. You get greedy. You want to hold on to it. Hold on to it. There's something about money. I heard a preacher say something the other day. I think me and Jason was talking about it the other day. And I heard a preacher say something. He said, "The love of money is the root of all evil." We normally think that's talking to people that's got money, rich. It didn't say having money is the root of all evil. Loving it. You can be poor as Job's turkey and love money. You can be a pauper, a bank. You can be bankrupt and love money. Man, I want money. I want money. I want money. That's the root of all evil. They that will be rich fall into many hurtful and foolish loves, which drown men in perdition. Ladies and gentlemen, bring your offering. Glory to God, bring your offering. These people come up here from New Mexico. I'd hate to ask how much money they'll spend. Motel all week, gas, food, everything. Look, and here we sitting here. It's free to us. We live right down the road, right down this way. Glory to God, we ought to throw something in there. Say, you know what? If you went to a seminar, it cost you $125. If you went, hallelujah, throw something in there and say, "This is my offering for the camp meeting of God speaking to my heart and my family." Well, let me tell you something else to bring. Bring your children. Bring your children. That's why I said let them stay out of school one day, Friday. Let them stay out. They won't argue with you. Get them here in the house of God. I'm so glad we can come and feel the moving of the Spirit. It'll save the kids. The moving of the Spirit of God will save. You talk to anybody in here, me included. Talk to anybody in here and say, "What saved you? And I'm not talking about your soul. I'm talking about save you from going out and ruining your life. And their mind goes back to some old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting that they was in, camp or somewhere, that saved them from going out and ruining their life. Listen, you know what I like about our church? We got our faults. I ain't perfect. We ain't perfect. But every once in a while, buddy, that breeze comes through here. Every once in a while, somebody will throw up a hand. The Spirit of God moves. Listen, that's invaluable to these kids. That's invaluable. When they feel that, I don't care how far they go out and sin. Some of you young people, you've been out sinning. And I guarantee you, when you was way out there, as low as you went in sin, something in the back of your mind remembered when you was in the house of God and they was singing and God got real. And you're, listen, that's what we need, brother. Hey, money can't buy that. That's what I want for my grandkids over there. I want them to know there's a God and He'll move once in a while and you can feel His power. Amen. Bring your children. Bring your children. Bring your children. Listen, old Gage over there went to some church Bible school back in the summer, and he went to some church where they lived, one of his friends or something, and he come home and they said, "How'd you like it, Gage?" He said, their music was weird. Him 7 years old. How old is he? 7 years old. Mama, they got weird music at that church. You know where he learned that? Right here. Right here. If a seven-year-old knows there's a difference between real Christian music and rock and roll, there ain't no excuse for some of them pastors. Amen? Weird music, Mom. I don't like that church. Kim took her kids or something. They saw, she might not even want me to tell you this. She probably watched it at home. They watched some movie. I don't know what it is. It's new. Just came out. She said they thought it'd be an action funny movie. And she said they was on there. And they come out and had the one eye covered. And then they cut this one guy, mixed him in with an animal, like a machine animal, put a thing in his forehead. Some movies just came out, I'm sure some of y'all. And they said all the way through it, her kids said, "Mama, Mama, Mama, that's what we learned at church. The one eye, the dark right eye. Did you see it?" And you know where they learned that? She said, if we didn't go to church, we wouldn't even know the world out there. They don't even see. They don't even register with them. I mean, brother, when they come out with pentagrams on there and Madonna's dancing around, having people bow down to her with horns, they don't even think nothing about it. But if your kid's right and they're right with God, they say, "I know, my eyes are open. Get your children here." I told them Wednesday night, I read an article the other day, sitting at the garage. I took that 4Runner out there and had work done on the muffler. And I sat there and picked up a magazine. Here's what they're doing now. What's a transgendered parent? Transgendered parent. And it had four stories in there of little boy, 9 years old, who was Ryan. And little Ryan believes he wants to be a girl. And mama and daddy let him become a girl. And now his name is Riley. And it's a she. 9 years old. That's the next generation coming up in a few years. That's what we'll be bumping into on bus route pretty soon. I think I bumped into a couple of weird ones yesterday. Having a yard sale over here. I'm telling you, brother, little Ryan become Riley, 9 years old. Now he's a she. What's going to happen to that kid growing up? And they changed his school and said nobody knows that he used to be a boy or she used to be a boy except his principal and his teacher and his coach. And nobody knows, and us, his parents, and they said, little Riley is as happy or happier than her peers. That's the world they're growing up in. You better bring your children. If your children's taught right and know the Bible, some men sound like, look, people, look at me in the eyes. If God made you a boy, you are a boy. You are supposed to remain a boy because God does not make mistakes. You may be a little sissy, but you are a boy. If you're a girl, God, you might be a little tomboyish. That's normal sometimes. You are not a boy. If you're a boy, you're a boy. I mean, you say, "I'm a boy, but I'm not really." Yes, you are. You're not a boy because of what you think. You're a boy because of what you are. Do you understand that? I don't care what you think. You can think you're a Martian, brother. You can think you're a car. You are a boy or a girl. No matter what you think. I say, well, I think I'm a girl, so I'm really... No, you're not. You are whatever you are. Change yourself into a train, a locomotive. If you believe... a dog, a horse, a cow, a donut. Moving in the spiritual world will save our kids. I believe some of you do believe you're a donut. That's mean. That right there is mean. Look, a guy comes to see a psychiatrist. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I believe I'm a dog. I believe I'm a dog. I believe I'm a dog. He said, how long have you believed that? He said, ever since I was a pup. I talked to people yesterday. And one guy, right up the road here, we have Jehovah's Witnesses live on this road. Broke my heart. This road, what a disgrace. We have a man, I invited him to church, and he said, I don't do that. Did someone tell you that to him? I said, buddy, I'll tell you, the day's going to come when you wish to God you'd have done it. The day's going to come. The day's going to come. One of these two old, really roughly, I went in this straight party. I was by myself, too. Some of you men ought to feel really guilty about that. I went down in this straight party. It was scary. I mean scary. And this big old burly looking guy was sitting there talking to this other guy in a truck, pickup truck. And he's sitting there looking like that. And I walked up and I said, how y'all doing? I thought one of them was going to pull a gun out on me or something. He said, what are you doing out here trying to save some souls? I said, no, but I'm going to tell you about somebody that can save you. And I learned answers to all them excuses years ago. And I said, I can tell you about somebody that can save you. And then he suddenly turned into some kind of preacher. Said he started a ministry somewhere or something like that. But you know why we need camp meeting? Because there's people like that. I met a lady, 80 years old. 80 years old. Hair just as white, beautiful white. Snowy hair, and she said, I ain't been to church in years. I said, we'd love to have you. I met a woman who, as I said, hadn't been to church since the 60s. And I told them, old time religion is still alive. Old time, bring them to camp meeting. It's still there. You know what? I have people ask me once in a while, I said, Brother Danny, I've had people call me. I said, Brother Danny, I remember when churches people used to shout, people cry and hit the altar and repent and get saved. Where is it anymore? It's few and far between. I'm glad we still got a church where there's still a shout, where we still believe the Bible, where we can still fellowship. Let's don't lose it, y'all. Let's get in here and have a camp meeting. That's the place that made David glad. God's house. Let's stand by our heads. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed.